Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon to all you people up there. Wherever you are, be it morning, evening, night. If you're just tuning in case you're new, in case you just now tuned in, you've tuned into a wonderful place. It is Blood River Radio. We are proudly syndicated all over creation by Liberty News Radio, by all of our wonderful friends, our Sam Bushman. Sam Bushman just idolizes me. He worships the ground I walk on. But anyway, He probably didn't like me quite that much. Also, we have Mr. J. Meister and the one and only Miss Teenage America, a.k.a. Miss Lizzie, running this board. She's my favorite beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond all the ones. I love all the ones we work with, but she's got to be Papa's favorite. Anyway, people, you're listening, like I say, to Blood River Radio. And let me tell you something. This ain't no BS. We are the only radio program I know on Earth. We have sworn on the altar of God Almighty that we will fight against global white genocide until the very end. We may be killed, but that's just the way it is. There have been many a person much, much better than me have been killed in battle. If that's what it takes, by God, that's what it takes. We're going to do it. And I'll tell you what, we have pledged our honor. I do everything we've got. And our poster child originally was South Africa, and it still kind of is. But you can even talk to the people, for instance, like Simon Roach in South Africa, and he will tell you that we being here in the United States of America, we are worse off than they are. And while we're speaking of South Africa, we have our brother Rich Hamblin, who was one of the Charlottesville Five. He is in South Africa even as we speak. We had him on last week for a little bit. Let me get my line, make sure I don't miss anything. Let me tell you, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, in case I didn't say that. And because I'm a little bit excited today, a little bit out of order. And you know what? It is New Year's. I'm looking at my calendar. It is January the 3rd in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Almighty. There is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. That's all it is. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. Do not ever let anything stand between you and Jesus Christ. That's for sure. And also, I have one more thing to do, folks, before we go to our regular forte. I hope you can take my singing. Today is Mr. Paul Fromm, my brother Paul Fromm's, his birthday's this week. It's within 48 hours. So maybe old Matt could even tune in. I'll tell you about Matt in just a second. So here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Paul Fromm. Happy birthday to you. Chime in there, Matt.
Thank you, Eddie. You've got a career in country and Western music.
You know what? I've turned down contracts for millions because I'm so dedicated to this radio program. Well, I'm so glad you're here. Paul's coming in his first hour, Matt. And by the way, we got Matt, my Charlottesville brother. He's tuning in here, and he's getting ready to say the Blood River Radio prayer. But we have Matt Goodwin, one of the Charlottesville Five, one of the men I rode to Charlottesville with. We went into the pit, to the pit there. We faced the demon, and to quote Matt, he said, "We marched over their ass going into Lee Park, and we marched right back over their ass coming out again." And so I borrow that quote from Matt all the time, but. before we go any further, I'll just say Matt Goodman's coming on tonight, and he's online right now, and so is Paul Fromm. But you know what? We always go to our prayer, and I'm a little bit out of order. So if you will, Matt, the most important part of every single broadcast of Blood River Radio is going to the Lord. So if you will, Matt, take us to the Lord in prayer, son.
All right, let's do that. Our Father, thank you for this opportunity. What an opportunity to defend our people and to have this program that focuses on the plights of our people. And Lord, I pray that you help us to get clear direction and calling out those that are turncoats among us, calling out those that are doing evil towards us, and calling out all manners of truth that we have uncovered and have found that has been buried by the powers that should not be, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll bless our steps ahead of us. Help us to gain courage when we don't have courage. And Lord, help us to hold the banner high of the cross, lift high the cross among the heathen nations and show them that we have a future ahead of us, even though it's been tried to be stamped out. So, Father, I pray for strength. I pray for direction, and I pray for courage, and I pray for that that guiding light that shines inside of us that are calling upon your name and call ourselves your children. Thank you for what you've provided us. And Lord, help us to shoot straight the truth today over this program. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to thank you so much for that little brother. He's my little brother because I don't think he's even 40 years old yet. But if he is, that's still a hell of a lot younger than old Bombardier. We also go to the donors. Everybody knows that. And this past week, we had none other than old Biscuit. Biscuit from the swamps of Florida, like clockwork. He sent her on in, buddy. If there was no Biscuit, there would be no Blood River Radio. Just like there was no Matt Goodwin, there would be no Blood River Radio. That's for damn sure. And we also have Miss Buddy over in Arkansas. She's Mr. Buddy's widow. And you know what? As long as I live, she will always be Miss Buddy. That's just the way it is with me. But anyway, I'd like to thank those two precious people for keeping funds coming in to two of the several people. We don't have that many. We have, like Biscuits will say, all of our supporters are organic, but they send it in regularly, and they keep us going. They certainly do. And I'd like to thank them very much for that. Okay, going back to the honor, I have to do this housekeeping. Here's our little outline. As mentioned earlier, we have Paul Fromm and Matt Goodwin on the first hour. We have a rather controversial person on second hour. I've always admired what he does, but admire his work. His name is Mike Weaver. He's one of the original men that started the Goyim Defense League. He's coming on tonight. He's since left the Goyim Defense League. I'll let him tell why on second hour. Anyway, third hour is everybody and his mama knows the bitter ender. Like he always says, I said, Gene, are you still bitter? He said, yeah, I'm more bitter than ever. So he's still bitter, more bitter than ever, bitter ender. So I think that's out of the way. I don't think I'm forgetting anything. So Matt and Paul, since we got Paul to come in here, I sent y'all a bunch of articles, but listen, I'm going to get out of the way. Paul, since I called you on the fly and you came in, what would you like to start off with? I've sent y'all a bunch of articles. Well, we don't have to deal with that. We can deal with anything you'd like to deal with because I know everything we always do on this program right here is on our same platform. It all is connected directly or indirectly, usually directly to fighting global white genocide. So with that statement, go ahead, Brother Paul.
Yeah, well, this is my birthday, and I was quite humbled. We were at a protest this afternoon. It's a great way to freeze to death and celebrate your birthday. Our protest was against some of the government's anti-free speech legislation. And there's a real wackadoodle guy. I ran into him in the Yellow Vest days about 7 years ago, and he said I ruined his life. And how was that? Well, he came up and he was pumping my hand because I'd run for mayor back in 2018 here in Hamilton. So he wanted to be with a celebrity. Well, I'm not a celebrity, but anyway. So he was grinning and carrying on, and he got his picture taken. and he put it up on Facebook. And then all his friends said, he's a neo-Nazi, and then they turned against this guy. And I thought, what sort of friends do you have? And what sort of, I mean, wouldn't your friends say, well, how did that happen? Why were you posing with Paul? I mean, at least give the guy a, you know, chance. Well, anyway, he's been telling the story how I ruined his life for years. Anyway, I didn't know he was one of the supporters of this rally. So they were really upset when my guys and I showed up.
Paul, with that, we have to go to a quick break, but I hope you told them, hell no, you're not a neo-Nazi. You're a, by God, real Nazi. Your grandfather was Hermann freaking Göring, like mine. Be right back, folks. Don't go far. This is going to be a short break. You don't want to miss what Paul has to say in a little bit. Be right back, folks.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Here, Blood River Radio family, I would like to thank you for holding on. I really do. I really value all of our listeners, even our Owens, especially our Owens, our newest. But Matt, would you like to say something to Paul before he takes off? Because it is his birthday. Paul, is today your birthday or is it tomorrow?
Today.
Today. All right. Well, I was right on the money. Right on the money. But go ahead, Matt. You can respond to anything that he said and wish him happy birthday. But yeah, and I don't think I've ever known Paul when he wouldn't coming back for going to a protest or coming back from a protest. But go ahead. But go ahead, brother, a little bit. Which the young Matt, excuse me.
Yeah, so first off the bat, happy birthday to you. That's pretty awesome, a good achievement. Yeah, another year. And it falls right here at the New Year. So that's kind of, that must have been something amazing to celebrate year after year. It's like a new year and a new year for you. Anyway, you were talking about this young man that you ruined his life because he took a picture with you. And the powers that be gave him what I call the treatment, right?
It was pretty tense. I didn't realize he was involved with this rally today. And when he saw me coming, he and a couple of associates were very upset. They didn't know what to do. But in the end, they announced that everybody who wanted to would be allowed to speak. Well, anyway, he got to speak first. And I thought he would concentrate on these three or four acts that are in front of the federal parliament that will be very harmful to free speech. I thought he talked about that. No, he talked entirely about me, how I had ruined his life. I mean, he's like one of these old drunks you meet in a bar who had one incident in his life, and he'll tell you the story over and over and over again. Anyway, he went over the story, and he said that I've come to many free speech or many patriotic rallies, though he didn't actually use the word patriotic, and I do that to smear them, so because my presence will damage them in the eyes of the public, and so I'm a government agent. And he repeated that several times. I'm a government agent. So I said, yes, gosh darn it, the government still owes me a Jaguar, which is what I would really like. Anyway, a couple of my guys were so angry that if I hadn't been there, they would have been, he might have been hurt. We wanted to keep it on the theme. And one of the organizers was a good woman. She was taking up signatures on a petition against this legislation. And if we get 500, then a member of parliament will present it in parliament. So that was the main purpose of things. You can't let these whack jobs distract you. But I'm surprised he's still around because he has a weird personal life. He's white. He married a negress from Jamaica, and she's allegedly a lesbian. Don't ask me to explain it. I can't. All these laughs kind of kept us warm because it was bitterly cold at this protest. But it was successful. It's really great to feel you doing something good on your birthday.
Yeah. Well, you know what was the protest about again? I'm trying to figure out what that was about. What were you there for?
Oh, yeah, the protest was to bring attention to a couple of pieces of legislation up here, Bill C-8 and Bill C-9. Both of them involve further restrictions on the Internet. And, of course, he didn't have much of an explanation as to why he was there. I think in a weird way his heart's in the right place, but, you know, he's not exactly an intellectual. So I explained a little bit of what's in Bill C-9, and I'll keep it brief, but it's going to muddy the definition of hate. Like, it's illegal to willfully promote hatred against a privileged group. Now, that's race, religion, sex, sexual orientation, sexual identification. So if I wake up this morning and think I'm a girl, well, then you've got to respect the fact I'm a girl, and you've got to call me she rather than idiot. That's one thing. Another thing is they would make it illegal to display signs of terrorist organizations and the swastika. And a reporter asked the minister when he was presenting the legislation a few months back, well, what about the Confederate flag? And he said, yeah, we'll consider that too. Well, it's absolutely evil to ban any symbol. You know, you might see a symbol and you don't like it. Well, you just got to live with it. I imagine many people, many Palestinians, and many of us who don't like Israel get infuriated when we see the Israeli flag. I'd call that a hate symbol, but I don't think it should be banned. So that's another thing. The other thing is very, very evil. If you are convicted of a crime, and the crime was caused, your motive was hatred against any of the privileged groups, you know, Jews, LGBTQ, Negroes, etc., your sentence can be increased. Now, if the maximum sentence for an act, let's say common assault, is 2 years, you can get, I think, about another year just because it was because of hate. So you punch somebody in the nose because you're in a bad mood, okay, maybe that's 6 months. But you punch somebody in the nose and you say, you blankety blankety blank faggot, that you might get an extra year. Okay, for a crime that for which the maximum penalty is 14 years,
damn,
if you're convicted, you could get life in prison.
Wow.
Life in prison because if you committed that crime because of hate against some privileged group. Now, you in your initial sentence, you might not even have gotten 14 years. Maybe you get 7, but the maximum was 14. They could give you life. That is that is Stalin's. That is madness. Anyway, there's more to it, but I tried to explain that before anybody froze to death. And, we made a great impression. I introduced a political prisoner, a friend of mine, who was kept in jail 23 months and denied bail. That's for stuff he said on the Internet. Meanwhile, some extreme leftist Muslim who was involved in attempts to kidnap women and was caught with weapons. He's charged with conspiracy to commit kidnap, conspiracy to commit murder, and so on. He's out on bail. And the point I was making is, look, in Canada, if you do violent and bad things, the state doesn't have too much of a problem with you. You get bail. If you think bad thoughts, they'll throw the book at you. And there's just, it's the world of Solzhenitsyn described, you know. I always thought back in the day, well, one thing you could say about the Russian communism, boy, they wouldn't put up with criminals. I bet if you robbed the corner store, you'd go to the gulag for life. And then I read Solzhenitsyn, and he said, no, the communists see the criminals as a sympathetic class. So the common criminals, sure, they'd be punished, but they wouldn't be punished as much as the real danger to the state, and those were the political dissidents. They were the real bad guys. And we see that with the utter permissiveness of the judicial system in Canada and the U.S. Hardcore people commit assault and murder and riot the way the Negroes did during the Black Lives Matter. And what was that name of the fellow, Foreman? Was it
George Floyd.
They don't get punished at all, or they get relatively light punishment. Whereas the people who were involved in the protests up at Capitol Hill on January 6th, they searched them down and threw the book at them. I'm very glad President Trump pardoned most of them. But we've got that system in Canada where bad thoughts are severely punished. Bad and violent acts, much less so. So that was the point I made, and I introduced this political prisoner. So we had a good old time of it.
You know, these social engineering laws, they're only targeting the white people. And I think you put your pulse on, I think you put your finger on the pulse of the matter by saying, highlighting the fact that, you know, that it's, they've already thrown the book at several of these people that are white people, basically. That they might do a show trial and put up a token, person of color and say, well, look, we've done it equally across the board. Here's this person. But that was only somebody they were willing to sacrifice. The teeth doesn't come down on these types of people. It just comes down on the white, indigenous white people. It reminds me, the past decade in America, we've been having a large amounts of different types of anti-Semitism laws getting passed. And they're focusing on the anti-Semitism here in America because that is essentially who controls us. Like, you know, you can't criticize. You know who's controlling you based on who you cannot criticize, right? So that's why they're focusing. Yeah, exactly. They're focusing on the anti-Semitism laws across America. And, you know, there's a lot of people that they would love to throw in the gulags here for that same reason.
Guys, we're going to go to the bottom of the hour break. Be right back. So hold your seat. People, this is a long break, about 4 minutes. If you want to get some coffee, use the restroom, whatever. You got about 4 minutes, but don't be late coming back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. The U.S. strikes Venezuela and says its leaders has been captured and flown out of the country. Correspondent Luke Garrett reports.
The apparent attack itself lasted less than 30 minutes. Trump said in his social media post that the strike was carried out successfully. It comes after the Trump administration has escalated pressure on Maduro, who has decried U.S. military operations against alleged drug traffickers as a thinly veiled effort to oust him from power.
President Trump says Maduro was not a duly elected leader.
For many years after his term as president of Venezuela expired, Maduro remained in power and waged a ceaseless campaign of violence, terror, and subversion against the United States of America, threatening not only our people, but the stability of the entire region.
The FBI announced Friday that authorities disrupted a potential terrorist attack planned for New Year's Eve in North Carolina. U.S. Attorney Russ Ferguson says the 18-year-old terror suspect had been reading ISIS material and made TikTok videos.
And eventually reached out to what he thought was a member of ISIS. In reality, was an undercover agent with NYPD in New York. He pledged his allegiance to ISIS with that undercover agent, and he disclosed his plans to, quote, do jihad soon.
The man allegedly planned on using knives and hammers to attack people at a local grocery store and fast food restaurant in support of ISIS. Economist Steve Moore says that President Trump has orchestrated an exceptional economic recovery.
This really has been a bit of a miracle. What's happened in the last year, recovering from the kind of malaise of the Biden years, the high inflation, the declining incomes, the high gas prices.
Moore made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
Every day, I speak with people who are worried and are feeling a lot of pressure because of credit card debt. That's why I'm very proud of what we do at Trinity. We just help. We give people the support they need, along with a real plan to become debt-free. Credit card bills are consolidated into a single monthly payment that is much less than what they were paying before. Most of our members end up saving thousands and even may improve their credit scores by as much as 200 points. I know from the bottom of my heart that I'm making a difference in the lives of the people we help. It just makes me really happy.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-793-8548.
My name is Julie, and I'm a Trinity counselor. Call me and become debt-free for keeps.
1-800-793-8548.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Dear Blood River Radio, besides people, family, supporters, besides, we're going to pay homage to Paul Fromm. Not only has he been a patriot all these years, he has a grandfather that died in a Nazi concentration camp. That's right. Paul Fromm, the guy on this show, his grandfather died in a Nazi concentration camp. He got drunk one night and fell out of the guard tower and it broke his neck. So that's a true story, y'all. Anyway, so Paul, and I heard something else. I heard, Paul, I don't know if it's true, but I heard that you're not really a neo-Nazi. You're like the bombardier. Well, not a freaking sissy-ass neo-Nazi. I'm, by God, the real Nazi, the real son of a bitch and thing. Hermann Göring was my grandfather, you sons of bitches out there. And Paul Fromm is the same thing. Yes, sir. Paul Fromm is up. He's not no neo-Nazi. He's a, by God, real Nazi. But anyway, with that up, go back to you, Brother Paul.
I'm always reject the term neo-Nazi. I have known some old national socialists and some young national socialists. I have never known anybody who said, I can improve on the political philosophy of the Führer, so I'm kind of a new, improved national socialist. Or they never called themselves Nazi. But if somebody introduces themselves, and a few people have over the years, I'm a neo-Nazi, I'm immediately a little suspicious. Either they're very new, they're full of enthusiasm, and they're not quite sure what they're talking about, or they're an agent. Because it's pretty arrogant to think that you could vastly improve on that. So why would you call yourself neo? Why, you're really just a national socialist, not a neo. You're very naive. Every few years, somebody will say to me, how do I get in touch with the Ku Klux Klan in Canada? And I kind of look at them and say, well, you know, how long have you been involved in the movement? If you're a newbie and you want to go from, a member of the unwashed to almost as radical as you can get. I've got a question, are we being set up here? Because most people, if they become a bit more committed or a bit more radical, it takes a bit of time. You don't go from just being a person with very little political interest or experience to being, pretty, whatever you want to call it, involved or extreme.
You know, when you were talking about the attacks that these new bills in Canada are going to levy against you and your ideology, basically, of let's say National Socialism, you said that was one of the symbols that they want to attack. My problem with that, ultimately, is that National Socialism was a political ideology, right, or ideology that's very valid. It's worth talking about, right? It's absolutely, it has some answers to some problems that right now I'm not seeing any answers in our current state of governments in Canada or America. So, like, you've got the issues of that democracy brings in, and then you've got issues that a constitutional republic bring in, but then you've got a national socialism, which is a completely different form of government. So it's like they're ruling out a complete valid thing to talk about completely. political solutions that, that a lot of people may believe in. So kind of a big problem.
Partly what it is this type of legislation is largely pushed by the anti-free speech Zionist lobby. And of course, they don't like the swastika. Okay, I get it. But it should not be restricted. And as I understand it, and I might be wrong, but National Socialism was a solution to a particularly German problem. It was a special time, a special place. I don't think Hitler ever considered National Socialism as something he wanted to export, because it might not be applicable or as applicable to other countries, unlike communism, which was actively exported and tried to subvert other nations. National Socialism was a German solution to a particular problem, a set of problems at a particular time. Now, there may be some lessons to be learned from National Socialism. One of the things that I'm so fascinated about is, how did Hitler pull off this economic miracle? Our own prime minister at the time, William Lyon Mackenzie King, I believe he went to Germany, and he certainly said, and they were confided in his diary, we must, I think these were more or less his exact words, we have to study more carefully what Mr. Hitler has done. Like, how did he do it? In Canada, a conservative leader, R.B. Bennett, from 30 to 35, tried a number of things, and then Mackenzie King from 35 on tried things, and nothing was really working. Same thing with Roosevelt in the States, tried all sorts of things with the New Deal, and he didn't solve the Depression. Same thing in Britain. Here was Germany that was wrapped with inflation, desperately poor, being bled white by the reparations imposed by Versailles. And then Hitler takes over in January 33, and in 2 years, he's got the whole nation at work. People are thriving. Workers have never been paid so well, and he insisted on they're having vacations. And in the late 30s, German workers were going over to Britain as tourists, and the Brits were really poor, and they were looking at these people and saying, "Oh, you must be an executive or a professional." No, just a working guy in a factory. He had decent clothes and could afford a vacation. So, how did Hitler bring this about? And I think that's one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons for the endless boo-hoo-hoo about the Holocaust and Auschwitz, and did I mention 6 million, and so on. It's to distract us from, how did Hitler do this? Rather than the tribal history of one group that ran afoul of him, how did he accomplish what he accomplished? Or what was his secret? I have an idea what the secret was, but a lot of people might not agree with me. But
Paul and Matt, that question you just answered, that you asked, I've been burning with desire to find out how Adolf Hitler did that ever since we started Blood River Radio, ever since I heard about that. I would give anything if we could get a hold of the closest thing to a textbook to tell exactly how he did that. Like you said, it was beyond genius. I mean, the one thing for it, I think, he got off the precious metal standard. He didn't, they called it Jew's gold. And matter of fact, Henry Ford, I'm almost certain, Henry Ford denounced gold because, the Jews would always get a hold of it and control. I heard that they based the monetary system, the currency system in Germany during Adolf Hitler's time, on a man's labor, some kind of way, like an hour of skilled labor. I wish we could find out how he did it, but it was beyond, no one, I mean, it just stunned the world. You're absolutely right. You're so right. If anyone, and I've put this out there before, if there's such a thing as a textbook, if anybody knows publications in written down form how he did it, I would love to know that. beyond all things. I really would. But go ahead, Matt.
After the break, I could give you my short explanation. And I've bounced this off a number of people, and I don't have too many people who agree with me. I mean, some people listen and think it's all right, but people who are more expert don't agree. But I can give you my thoughts right after the break.
That'll be fine. It certainly will. Speaking of break, we're coming up on a break. There's a very quick audio I'm going to try to play when we come back. Or get Miss Teenage America to play it. But we'll be going to a break any second, Matt. But you go ahead and respond to what Brother Paul said.
So one thing Adolf Hitler in his book Mein Kampf talked about that always stuck in my mind, he talks about how democracy is like you got a long line of politicians and they're waiting in line just to move up to the next position. And he said what that creates is there's no one that takes any responsibility for any action that happens in the country. And you can witness that in our country, in Canada, I'm sure. Like, none of these politicians take any responsibility. They don't say the roads are bad because we messed them up. Here, let's
go to a quick break, man.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Dear Blood River Radio family, excuse this cough, I was at Bob Slipsy Ups, but we're going to, excuse this hack again, please. We're going to go right back to Matt. Matt, you were asking a question before it's the break, talking to Paul, but continue on, Brother Matt.
Oh, so you want me to ask the question over there?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I asked Paul, how long do you think, or how close do you think America is to people just getting outright gulagged here without a pretense and without a trial and without a formal order and all that? Right now we just have dissidents, but they're persecuted, but they still do some of these formalities and kind of pretenses and stuff. I'm curious, how long do you think America has before it's just outright gulagging people without question?
Well, when I saw the judicial warfare used against Donald Trump to try to keep him out of office, when I see the horrific punishment meted out to the people who were on Capitol Hill back on January 6th in 2020, and the brutality, life-ruining punishments meted out to people who were in Charlottesville, I think you're... you're just an election away. I think the Democrats, or at least significant elements in there, are think there's the sky's the limit when it comes to suppressing opinion they don't like. You know, I know not everybody's a great fan of Donald Trump, and I have certainly problems with his Israel First policies. But I think the Democrats should. I think it could be 3 years away.
Yes. Yeah, it could be. So, Eddie, back to you.
Yes. I totally agree with Paul. I'm sitting on pins and needles. And like Paul said, I certainly am no fan of Donald Trump. I mean, he's horrible, but we're not in the gulag yet. And if the Democrats had won the last election, Paul, I think that people like me and the people, many other people, would be in the gulag. You said it. It probably was a beta test they did with rounding up the January Sixers, with sending people, trying to people, as sorry as Trump is trying to send him to prison just with making up fake laws, you know, the judicial system. And if you look around, the total breakdown of law, the total lawlessness in all the major cities. California's lost. California, the largest city in the United States, one of the richest areas in the world, largest states in the United States. Look at New York City. It's gone totally wacko communist. And they make no bones about it. These people I'm talking about, they want to kill us. They always have. They have since Jesus' day. But I think you're right, Paul. And I would advise people, it depends on how you want to go. Do you want to go down with honor, even if you're going to be killed, and take some of them with you? Do you want to try to fight for your family? It depends on how you want. If you just want to die, which as a pathetic, like a sheep being led to slaughter, that's where you're headed. So maybe I'm fatalistic, but I think that's where it's going. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I mentioned I would give you my thumbnail idea as to why, how Hitler pulled off the economic miracle. And I believe he implemented a form of social credit. Very simply, the traditional banking creates credit out of nothing. You put in $100, and the bank can lend out a multiple of 26. So it can lend out $2,600 on the strength of your 100. So it creates this value out of nothing, and then charges interest on that. Okay, social credit says that the state should should create credit, not just printing money, but whatever is humanly possible and materially possible should be made financially possible. So, okay, let's take Hitler's Autobahns, these fantastic roads. Okay, what he did, I believe, he said, okay, we've got the raw materials, the asphalt, the stone, the gravel, et cetera, to build roads. We've got the human capability. We've got engineers. We've got laborers. We can do this. It has to be made financially possible. So what's it going to cost? So just to pick a number out of the air, it will cost, let's say, 100 billion Deutschmarks. Okay, he prints $100 million Deutschmarks. He pays the suppliers of the raw materials. He pays the workers, and the job gets done. In the West, with traditional banking, either the government would have to raise taxes, which would be difficult during a depression when very few people have any money, or they would have to borrow from the banks. Well, that means paying interest. And that's difficult. I believe that's what happened. There are a lot of people who are social creditors who say, full disclosure that I'm wrong. That's what I believe he did.
That's interesting.
What about that, Matt?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. It seems like there would still have to be some sort of return back, some sort of interest or something, even with that system. I'm not sure. And I don't know how it would work. I don't know how Hitler did it. But like you said, somehow it might have been based on work quality. Like if the way I've got it in my mind is like if a man digs a hole in the year 1506, okay, the year of our Lord, 1506, and let's say he digs a hole in the year 2050, it's you got the same shovel, the same man. It's going to take him basically roughly the same amount of time to dig a certain size hole. And if you could quantify that work and that work value into some sort of payment of Deutsche Mark, then I think that would make a system that is rock solid. It's better than precious metals. It's better than money based on gold and silver. It's because gold and silver go up and down, but the value of digging a ditch is going to be kind of constant through the ages. So somehow he must have done something to that effect. There could have been a social credit aspect based on National Socialist sympathizers and people in the party. I'm not sure. But I think in general he really got people on board with getting excited about making their environment better. They didn't just want to make money. I think they really wanted to build the Autobahn. You know, like they probably – he got them excited about working. And I think that's what America could really use. Like right now our infrastructure is collapsing and failing, and people need the spirit of taking care of their environment and getting involved. And, and it wouldn't even take much.
Oh, absolutely. He revived the German nation, restored their pride, promised to get back the lands that had been stolen away in the Versailles Treaty. Yes, he rejuvenated the land, but the economics, of course, helped as things were getting better and better. The question is how. And,
hey, Paul.
I think it's something we should be looking at rather you can't talk about that. Did I mention the Holocaust? The Holocaust, I think, is a distraction.
Hey, Paul, hang on. Hey, guys, well, I've been something. Me and Lizzie have been working forever. We're going to play this clip before we run out of time. It has directly what you've been talking about, what I've been talking about, and it took me forever to get it to send. So go ahead, Lizzie, play that clip.
What about the 6 million?
Well, one of the easiest questions to take care of, actually, is the 6 million Jews. These Jews, if this were true, the 6 million Jews, you would have to give the Jews credit for being more clever than the cats for having nine lives, because these Jewish gas Jews show up again and again and again all over the world, not just here. The Jewish Encyclopedia, which you can consult, and as you can see in all my literature, lists in 1932 and 33 only 2.5 million Jews for the entire area, everywhere that Hitler possibly could have been. There were only 2.5 million Jews, and yet he's accused of gassing 6 million Jews in a 2.5 million Jew area. I would be very grateful if the Jews would explain this to me. They've never done it. I think this 6 million Jew stuff is the biggest of all the big lies that has ever been told. And while we're at that subject, let me point out that in Mein Kampf, we hear forever about Hitler's big lie. If you will read and study in Mein Kampf, if you look at the actual book, rather than just listen to Jews like William L. Shirer telling about it, you will discover that Hitler says in Mein Kampf that the Jews are the great masters of the lie, and he says that their biggest technique is what he calls the big lie technique, and he says it's vile. He not only didn't invent it, he doesn't advocate it, he says it is a filthy technique by which the Jews tell an enormous lie, and it's so big that nobody ever suspects them. That's exactly what's going on in our country today.
I think that is dynamite. People, we snuck that in. We may have to replay that later, but dear Paul, I could not resist sending that, letting play that clip. Thank you so much, Paul, for coming on, and have a happy birthday, my brother. We'll be seeing you very soon. Stay in touch, and once again, happy birthday. Dear Blood River Radio family, this is going to be a long break, about 4 minutes. You got plenty of time to use the restroom, get the coffee. You know the drill, but don't be gone over 4 minutes. Be right back, folks.